Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
John 19. You need to know where we're going next week. We're going after souls. We're not going away anywhere. We're going here. We're going after souls. Next week is Palm Sunday. How many know what that is? Palm Sunday. All right. It's in the Bible. You should read the story. It's pretty amazing. And we're going to have a community-wide event here. It starts at 10 o'clock right here in this room. We've got some really special music and dramas planned, sermon, illustrated sermon. And then we've got a cookout and an egg hunt. So we're going fishing for souls, for families, to love on kids, to love on families. And so you need to know where we're going. I need you to be prayed up and ready. I need you to be prayed up ready. And I want to help you. I want today to be practical and helpful. If you did not get a sermon note page, raise your hand. There's people peppered throughout the audience who are going to put one in your hand. If you did not get one of these, put your hand up in the air and wave it like you really do care. Look at that. Man, we got a high-speed, low-drag usher team. If you didn't get one of these, we just had a couple folks come in, just make sure they get one. I want to help you in practical ways. Frank, if you'll help that, thank you. Man, you guys are on top of things. Now, next week's going to be a different feel, and I want us to be ready for it. I want us to be ready. So today, I want to help you in a practical way. We're going to read a story. Here's Jesus' life. He is ready to come into Jerusalem where he knows he will die. He's fully aware the cross, right, is ahead of him. There's no resurrection without a death. There's no resurrection without a death. And ushers, if you'll do me a favor, if we happen to have some folks come in, I know some ushers or worship team, you'll help them make sure they get one of those. Because I want to help everybody this morning. So Jesus is ready to come into Jerusalem. Last week we talked about how he was anointed at Bethany for his burial. And the woman who offered that just over-the-top gift was honored by Christ. Here we find Jesus going through the city of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And here we pick up in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Here's what it says. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. That's significant. Everybody say passing through. He was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'm sorry. He was a chief tax... That's not in the Bible. Sort of. Thank you. He was a... There you go. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. Everybody say, aw. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he saw him. He said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he is gone to be with the guest of a sinner. And yes, he was. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what? The lost. the greatest thing that could ever happen to you is the salvation of your soul. The greatest day in your life would be the day that you would meet Jesus as your personal Savior. And the greatest thing that anybody could do for you is to help lead you in that direction. Today, some of you may or may not decide to do something important. Something that could be one of the most significant things in your life, and that is to lead someone to follow Jesus. And I was reminded just this morning on the way to church, I looked over and this precious lady to my right at the traffic signal looked like she hadn't slept in 3 days. She looked like she's living out of her car. Looked like just like life had just messed her up. There are people that are waiting, for someone to come and bring them hope. And so two tools I want to put in your hand this morning. Here they are. Grab them real quick. Two tools that I want to put in your hand this morning. And if you don't grab them, I'm coming after you right now. Two tools that will help you. There is a community. There are people that are disconnected from God. His sons and his daughters that he created in his image and his likeness, and it breaks the heart of the Father. This is so important to God that he died to make this happen. So here's a thought. Put it up on the screen. It's a really good thought, a really good question to ask yourself when reading the Bible. Why is this story in the Bible? That's a good question. Why is this story in the Bible? So I came to this story as Jesus was going into Jerusalem on his way. Why would God see it fit to include this story? Why would he want us to read this in a setting like this 2,000 years later? What is Jesus doing? He's on his way. He's what? Passing through Jericho. He's dialed into the reality that he will die for the sins of the world. And he's telling his guys this. They just can't hear it. He knows why he's come. Listen, every destination is significant. Every interaction is important. Jesus was passing through. God will send people in our path along the way. And I want you to write this down in your little, in that little blank there. Pray passionately with compassion for the harvest and other harvesters. Pray with compassion and passionately. How do I release the supernatural? How do I supernaturally lead people towards Jesus? Number one, pray. The Bible says Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. There doesn't seem to be anything significant that we can find about Jericho other than it was the first city that Joshua conquered. It's on the edge of the Jordan. It was very close to where Jesus was baptized. Jericho, the little town, is still there today. But he passes through. It was another city where Jesus went. Jesus was passing through Moody. Pinson. Jesus was passing through Odenville. Jesus was passing through Centerpoint. He was passing through on his way. And while he was there, there's a man named Zacchaeus. Oh, by the way, Zacchaeus, the Bible says, is not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. It's important to know a little backstory on that. Zacchaeus was not liked. He was not liked. Rome would recruit Jewish men to do their bidding to collect Roman taxes. They had a minimum requirement. And then whatever you could skim off was yours. It was nothing short of state-sponsored organized crime. Sort of a bonus system, right? Not only that, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So he had his boys out there. And he was wealthy. His wealth would have been a stench in the nostrils of his Jewish neighbors. They knew where he got the money. And they knew it wasn't right. Imagine America gets invaded by a foreign country. And that foreign country seeks to levy taxes on you. And so in order to do it, they hire local guys from Alabama to do it. And the promise is, look, you can live a life of luxury as long as you do our bidding. And then those men would collect the taxes and squeeze their neighbors out of the rest to live a lavish lifestyle. How many know that that would not go over very well in Birmingham, Alabama? That's what it was like in Jericho. It was like that. They despised him. He was passing through. Listen, most of the harvest opportunities we have are on the way. People we encounter in everyday living. People that we meet, you meet through work, through the classroom, our neighborhood, families from our kids and grandkids' athletic teams, family members, the girl who serves lunch at the restaurant you went to last week, the guy who did your brakes when you took your car in, people you will meet this week. On the way, you will encounter a potential harvest. Pray that you are awakened to the idea that God is putting people in your path, listen, along the way. Prayer infuses the spirit. Prayer softens the heart. And prayer releases workers into the harvest. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 9, 37, he said, pray. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Everybody say plentiful harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field. Now, I want you to take this card here. And I want you to take a moment to think about the person that could be sitting next to you right now. Like literally take the card and a pen. Grab a pen. I want you to think about the person. I left mine in my office, the one that has mine. I got four names. I want you to think about the person that could be sitting next to you right now. And I want you to write their name down. I've got a guy on there. I don't know his name. I'm embarrassed I forgot his name, but I know where he works, and I see him, and I know he's got a heart issue. And I know we've talked about that. And I know I'm going to sneakily figure out what his name is again when I go back into where he works. He knows my name. When I call his place of business, he says, "Hey, Tim, I'm praying for him." His name is on there. It just says, "Guy at the shop." You will think about people right now, not later, but right now, of people that should be here. They are within driving distance of this church, but they are not connected to a church at all. You're not saying they're going to hell or heaven. You're saying, I know they're not connected to church. They should be in a life-giving church, but they're not. So I'm going to begin to pray for them. So I want you to begin to write their name down right now. Begin to write it down. Write their name down right now. And this morning, as I talk, you're going to think, and names are going to occur to you, people that you see at school, people that you go, oh man, that's a divine connection, or my antennas are up, I should be keen and aware, because God has a harvest for everybody. So pray passionately with compassion for the harvest, and I want you to begin to pray for them. And I want you to begin to ask God to turn their situation around. How do I supernaturally lead people to Christ? I'm going to pray. Number two, write the word engage. Praying, and I'm engaging. I'm engaging in common ground conversations with people. So back to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was curious. It's an interesting story. It kind of you can see the pitch, like you can see it in your mind being played out. He wanted to see Jesus, but because he was short, he couldn't see. Throw that on the screen. 19:3. He couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed in a sycamore tree to see him, to see Jesus, since he was coming that way. So here's the scene. He hears about Jesus coming through town. We don't have the backstory. We don't have really much about afterwards. Just the short interaction. So he hears that Jesus is coming. So we know that God is already beginning to work on him. We already know that God's beginning to work. He hears about Jesus, and there's a crowd. The crowd is so intense that little Zacchaeus, he can't see over the crowd. I can just imagine he's looking, he's jumping in the back trying to see. He's going, and he thinks, you know what? There's a tree on the corner down the street. I'm going to run ahead because I can see where this thing's going and get ahead because I want to see Jesus. So he runs ahead, climbs in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. For the Lord he wanted to see. His little legs run down the road. I wonder to myself, back to the first question, why is this in the Bible? What was going through his mind? What was going through Zacchaeus' mind? What would cause him to do what he did? Why would he respond this way? Why is this like in the Bible? Why run ahead to see? Why is it that important? The man was a powerful man. He had authority. He had power. Rome would get his back, right? He had money. But if we look closely, we see something. He was looking for a way to connect with God. And he was trying to figure it out in his mind. He didn't have the right questions to ask. He didn't really know exactly how to form it. But he was looking for a way to connect with God. you will have conversations with people that will lead them along to Christ, and they will give you insight as to what is happening, look, behind the scenes. What we have to do is be careful not to be the chief talker, but the chief listener. So there's conversations, subjects, that I think we could categorize into 10 ways. And as you work on people, I want you to think about common ground conversations that you would have with people. I got them in your notes. Conversations about their family, about their job, vocation, about foods or health, sports. What are they into hobby-wise? Politics. Current events. What the future looks like. Life stages, where they are. Now, here's the deal. You've got to be mature enough to listen. I have a friend of mine. He was in my wedding. He made me so mad 2 weeks ago. he made me so mad. I was so mad at him because he disagreed with something that I thought was, that I believed. I was so mad at him. I can't tell you what. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you how upset I was. I thought he was a little bit crass in his articulation. And that sort of stuck in me. To be a harvester, you have to be mature enough to listen. What are they saying? Where's their point of need? What is it that, listen, what is it that God is using to draw them to Him? Every one of these 10 things are all temporary. And somebody said, hallelujah for that. Some of them, you want to be really temporary, right? They are temporary. They are not eternal. They are temporary things. You are asking yourself, where is the activity of the Holy Spirit? Where is God working? What are the pathways that are opening up here? 1 Corinthians 9, here's what Paul said about that very thing. He said, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He's talking about this. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like those under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. Do you see the point? I want you to write names down. Number two, I want you to pray for them. Number three, I want you to act on that prayer and do something nice for them. I want you to serve them. I want you to think, where's the conversations that we've had? How many know that you can steer conversations also with good questions? You know, someone's always on some kind of tangent that's never going to lead anywhere. Just steer them another way. And you can discern where the activity of the Holy Spirit is, and then you serve them. You're praying for them. Their heart is softening. You're engaging them in listening conversations. And now you're serving them. You're giving them a random act of kindness. So pray passionately with compassion for the harvest. engage in common ground conversations. If you don't know what to talk about, pick one of these 10. Ask them a question. I would probably start with like their family and hobbies. I would probably start there. Number 3, and write this on your notes, receive. Receive. Here's where it gets really interesting. Receive knowledge and insight through the Holy Spirit. Receive knowledge and insight through the Holy Spirit by praying and by having conversations. So back to Zacchaeus. Jesus is talking. Jesus now is engaged in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus made it to the tree. He climbed the tree. Verse 5 of chapter 19 of Luke, he says, or the Bible says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. Let's pause there a moment. He looked up. Everybody say, look up. He just looked up. Why don't you think of the context? There are people everywhere. They are borderline mobbing him. There's this. And in the midst of that, he just looks up. And he said to Zacchaeus, hey, come down immediately, because I'm going to your house for tea. I'm going to your house for tea. You sing that in the third grade, anybody? No? Okay. God bless you. God bless you. You did know he's a wee little man, though. And the wee little man was it. Okay. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, this is an interesting dynamic. Jesus reaches a spot. He took notice of what was happening around him. What was happening around him? Like everything. A mob of people so thick that Zacchaeus couldn't even see Jesus. Jesus gets to the tree and sees. He looks up and says, oh, there he is. Listen, he stopped what he was doing. He paid attention. He just paid attention for a moment. Now, some things God will drop in your lap. He will put the ball on the tee. He will take the bat, put it next to the ball, pull you up to the bat, put your hands on it, and help you swing. Sometimes it will be like fish in a barrel. But you must pay attention to what is happening around you. Did you know there are people all around you that are looking for some kind of hope? They are all around you. I think Jesus would say, just look up. Look up. So there he is. He looks up. Jesus was drawn to him. I think one better way of saying it maybe is he paid attention. He's paid attention. You know, some things do not take an incredible amount of spiritual discernment. They're just like right in front of you. Just look up. Just look up. The Bible says that the Spirit gives us gifts. Maybe you've heard this term before, spiritual gifts. And I would submit to you that every believer has spiritual gifts, and I believe every believer should have an increasing amount of spiritual gifts, because the Bible says that we should pray for that. So why would the Bible say we should pray for it if it wasn't going to happen? So you have gifts, right? What are those gifts? They have a root, a nature. They are spiritual gifts. They are given by God, by the Holy Spirit, to you for the glorification of Jesus Christ. The gifts are given to the church so that the kingdom of God advances and the line moves. No running around, please. Just try to keep it together. Try to hold it in. I know Jesus is in Jericho, but maybe not a Jericho march right now. Use your gifts. Use your gifts. The last time I saw Shelley Jones, she was working at Hardee's as a 19-year-old out of high school. Nothing wrong with working at Hardee's. Nothing wrong with working at Hardee's when you're 19. Shelley Jones was the most physically talented person I'd ever met in my life. Shelley was a track athlete, and she was ineligible for academic reasons. Her sophomore year, first year she would compete in high school, because in ninth grade where I grew up, you were in junior high, she was ineligible the first half of track season. But then she became eligible, and so she had 3 weeks to get ready for the city championship. Jacksonville, Florida is a pretty big city. We were part of the largest school classification in North Florida. Shelley wins the 100, the 200, the long jump, and the high jump. 3 weeks. The next week is regionals, Pensacola, Florida, now half the state of Florida. She jumps 5'10 and a quarter in the high jump. The 10th highest jump that year with 4 weeks of training. She went from a nobody. No one knew. Now, this is a 5'7 girl. She can jump 5'10. Just right. The phone started lighting up at the track office. All these offers. They'd never seen this girl. They never heard her name. She had no marks. She went from nothing to something. Long story short, she blew the whole thing, dropped out. I think she dropped out of high school. I don't know if she finished or not, but I saw her and I thought, man, I was sitting next to her in geometry, and I was a little skinny distance runner. And I'd say, if I had your talent. She said, I'll beat you in a race. I'm like, you beat me in the first one, but I'll catch you in the second one. You ever think, see someone that has crazy amount of talent, and you say, man, that seems like it's a waste. When we have spiritual gifts that we do not use, it is a waste. Don't waste your gifts. Don't waste your gifts. Don't waste your gifts. Use your gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful servant of God's grace in its various forms. Everybody say various forms. Various forms. It takes four or five of us to make up a good Jesus, because someone is gifted in this area, someone else is gifted in this area, someone else is gifted in this area, someone else in this area, in this area. Now, Jesus had all the gifts at 100% all the time. We seem to have clusters of gifts. It takes the body of Christ to represent Jesus as a person, because he pours out his gifts so that others might know his nature and characteristics. And if you don't use your gifts, people won't know that part of Jesus. Don't waste your gifts. As you use your gifts, you will have insight. You'll receive insight through the Holy Spirit as you use your gifts. And here's what that looks like. It's in your notes. You'll receive insight in about six areas. What's the person has a personal identity deal. They need guidance. You're receiving insight because you're talking to them. Now, some of you won't need to use your gift for that because they will tell you, hey, I need guidance about my personal identity. And you'll go, okay, I know. But other times you'll have to discern it. Or they need personal forgiveness. And they know it. They've messed their life up. It is their need. Or they need personal healing. Their issues that have been created because of the damage of darkness. And you're in their life to pour oil and wine on their wounds. Open the jar and use your gifts. Or personal purpose. Personal deliverance. They need change. The words of Michael Jackson, we're going to make that change. I'm talking to the man in the mirror. Am I bad that I like that song? I live for that song sometimes. I love that song. I don't know how much he knew of really what he was singing, but it was good. I think it's a good song. Number six, personal divine provision. There is a need to receive. Listen, or you will run across people that have a need to give. They have resources, and they're asking themselves, why do I have these resources? And you need to have the wisdom and the integrity to be able to direct their resources for kingdom purposes as you build relationships with them. They're asking those questions. Why do I have what I have? Mark 2, 1 through 5 says this. A few days later, when Jesus again arrived at Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers, there's no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. He's going like a home Bible study, and he's just packed. It's like the sidewalks are filled. So some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. I'm guessing one on each corner. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening. They sawed a hole in the roof. Now, I want some friends like that. Come on. Now, if you need to get my house and you can't find a way in, don't cut a hole in the roof. I'll move some people out of the way, but I want some friends like that carrying me. Come on, somebody. They made a hole in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and they lowered the man in the mat they was lying on. They're having a Bible study. Look, here just comes this guy. They hear this noise and this dust is falling. And Jesus is like, what's going on? People are like, they don't want to get dirt in their eye or whatever, you know, and the insulation's coming down. And all of a sudden, the sunshine comes through. And here's this guy. They just lower him in his mat. He's crippled. They lower him down and they just plop him on the floor. And there he is. How many know that kind of stopped the show? They're like, well, there he is. I guess if you want a front row seat, that's one way to get it. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. What's the deal here? What was the man's felt need? Healing. Every miracle is temporary, except for salvation. It's temporary. He was going to get healed now or get healed later. In heaven, if he's a believer. What's his temporary need? Healing. What was his eternal need? Salvation. God used the temporary to meet the eternal. Jesus worked the miracle. Son, get up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. When we interact and receive information, we must do it supernaturally. Natural techniques don't save souls. You can't save a soul. Only God can save a soul. You can't convict anybody of sin. Only God convicts of sin. You can't transform anybody. Only God can. You can't heal anybody. Only God can. Receive knowledge and insight. Number four, release. Release supernatural provision. Release the supernatural through prayer, words, and actions. Release the gifts. Don't hold on to them. Release them. Release the gifts. So back to Zacchaeus 19. So all the people saw Zacchaeus and Jesus' interaction. He's walking and stops. The crowd stops. Obviously, they see Jesus talking to Zacchaeus. There are mobs of people around him, and Jesus is having a conversation with a kind of tree. Not only that, a tax collector. Not only that, a chief tax collector. Not only that, he'd been at it a while because he was wealthy. He'd been ripping people off for years. And Jesus has the audacity to stop the show and have a conversation with a dirty, rotten criminal, tax collecting sinner. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. He just left this party to go to his house. He went." Now, in that culture, opening your home was more than just having a sandwich together. It was a deal. It was, you were opening your life. You were opening who you were. You were associating with that person. You were connecting with that person. All the people who saw this begin to mutter, "He's going to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up. He stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, here I am now. I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Well, how many know the conversation just shifted? They're like, I'm in first in line. I want my back. Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus leads to Zacchaeus' repentance. Do you see the pattern? It leads to Zacchaeus' repentance. We just get the cliff notes. He said, "Come down here. I'm going to your house." We don't have all they said. That might have been all they said. Seems like it's probably a little more. Zacchaeus said, "Okay. I'm undone. I have just had an encounter with the Son of God. I am undone." The conviction of the Holy Spirit is working on him. He confesses his sins and repents. The interaction released something in Zacchaeus' life that led to his conversion. This is a biblical picture of repentance. How do you know if someone is genuine in their repentance? You will know someone is genuine in their repentance when they do the opposite. They'll do the opposite. He was stealing, now he's giving back. He was robbing, now he's restoring back. He shifted the other way. It's an obvious picture of repentance. Jesus is in the transformation business, and he wants to work with you. He desperately wants to work with you. He wants to work with us to accomplish his agenda. The kingdom of God is advancing, Not man's kingdom, not your kingdom, not the kingdom of a church. The kingdom of God is advancing. And he wants to work with you to move the line. Because the enemy has invaded territory that he doesn't have the authorization to stay. And you need to serve notice and kick him out. My heart is beating fast. And I hope yours does too. Release God's supernatural provision. Release the gifts. If your gift is compassion, be compassionate. If your gift is giving, give generously. If your gift is leadership, lead. If it's discernment, discern. I don't mean to scare anybody this morning, but I do hope to awaken something in you. We have to advance his kingdom. We must move this church forward. And God wants you to do it. God wants to work with us to do it. Not somebody else. With us. Drive the enemy backwards. Move the borders further away. Advance his kingdom. And God invites you and me to participate in the supernatural. It's really fun, by the way. Oh, it'll cost you, but man, it sure is fun. We participate with the Holy Spirit. Say he's talking to you. Turn to your neighbor, he's talking to you. Now turn back. Say he's talking to you. Turn to him, tell him he's talking to you. Say, no, he's talking to you. Monique don't have anybody to talk to. He's talking to you. Open your spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. You will sense it. God will take you along with him. I don't know of a better way to bring in a harvest than this right here. I believe this is the biblical pattern. And so you've got a card, and some of you already have names on it. And you're thinking, man, I need to seriously pray for that person. I need to shed some tears. I need to soften my heart. Because maybe you're like me, they made you mad recently. Or your friend. Now we made up. We're buddies. Just because you get mad at somebody doesn't mean they're your enemy. We got to get past this, you offended me, therefore you're an enemy. I don't understand how we've gotten so like, we got to figure something out better than that. So we're writing names down. You're praying. You're having conversations and you're listening. Do you hear? You're listening. And you're sensing. And then you're releasing gifts. You're releasing gifts. You're releasing the gifts. You're releasing the gifts. You're releasing the gifts. Some of them seem more natural, innate, personal. Some of them seem more spiritual in the sense of mystical. Release the gifts. Release the gifts. Release the gifts. Number five, write the word gather. Gather. Gather the harvest possibilities created by the interaction. God has set something up. So back to Zacchaeus, and here's where we land. Worship team's coming. We're going to wrap this up, and here's how we're going to end. I'm going to have you come and submit these names to the Lord and have you come today and begin to pray over them today. Not tomorrow, not I hope you participate, like today, like right now. This is too important. And by the way, you have some really cool invite cards that you could use to invite them to like next week in Easter. Jesus says to him, verse 9, to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come, look, to this house. Now think about it. The people are going, what's the deal? He's going to this tax collector sinner. Salvation has come to this sinner's house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. Let's pause there a moment. For a first century Jew not to be faithful to their roots would be looked at as a slap in the face to God. Lazarus said, I don't care. I'm in it for the money. Who cares about covenant? Who cares about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Who cares about my spiritual history and what got me to here? What I care about is me, me, me. Jesus said, this man too is a son of Abraham. He restores him back to his Jewish community. He restores him to the same community Zacchaeus had robbed from. He doesn't pluck him out and put him in, some Capernaum. He says, he's here. This too is a son of Abraham. Why? How is he restored? Because salvation has come. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save what? The lost. Jesus sees his faith. Jesus reinstates Zacchaeus' position to his Jewish roots, his both spiritual and community. And Jesus announces his purpose. Now think of the prophetic implications there. We now know where he's headed next. He's headed into Jerusalem. They're coming up on Palm Sunday. They're coming up on Passover. He's headed from there to Jerusalem. Allow God's supernatural interaction to create opportunities. Can I tell you something? The miracle is never about the miracle. The man who was healed of his paralysis in his legs, the interaction wasn't about the miracle. Well, at least not that miracle. The miracle was about something greater. The miracle was about a harvest. The miracle was about the man's soul. Jesus could care less about money. He could care less about Zacchaeus' money. It meant nothing to him. Except for that was the root of Zacchaeus' bondage. That's what he cared about. And today, that root was broken. It was cut off. That chain was snapped. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So you're using the supernatural interactions to gather a harvest, to point people to Jesus. And sometimes all you have to do is say, well, look at that. Isn't that cool? Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. I've learned to ask this question. If God were to work a miracle in your life, what do you think it would look like? You learn a lot from somebody by asking that question. And then you work with them to pray. And when that happens, you say, look at that. You told me 7 months ago that you would know it was from God if this happened. And look what he did. Look what he did. The miracle is never about the miracle. The miracle is about the harvest. The miracle is about look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He healed my mind. He saved me just in time. Celebrate the miracle and gather the harvest. In Acts 9, our last scripture, verse 32, Peter traveled about the country and he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and what? The miracle was about the harvest. Gather the harvest when you work the supernatural. Look what the Lord has done and point them to Jesus. So my aim today was to give you burden, insight, and tools. That there are people who need help. And like, you're the answer. God's that they're praying for. Your pastor doesn't know of a better strategy than see the kingdom of God advanced. You use your gifts, you participate in that, and you gather a harvest of souls. Don't waste your gifts. Don't waste your gifts. Don't waste your gifts. Acts 1:8 says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly or far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine according to his power at work in us. John 14:12, I'm telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. And you will do whatever, and I will do, Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. John 14:14, if you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Would you stand up? I want you to hold two things in your hand when you stand. Here's the primary focus right now. The people that need you. The people that need you. It is Easter season. They are waiting for someone to invite them to Easter service. They're waiting for somebody to invite them to church. You'll go listen to the weatherman, and he will tell you your Easter Sunday service weather. They will say that. We're in the buckle, man. Strap on the belt and ride the wave. Come on. I'm going to open these altars, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab these two things and a pen in your hand. I want you to grab a pen. Please grab a pen. And I want you to write down the people that should be here. They were in driving distance of this church. They're not plugged into a church. And they're in your life. You know they need Christ. You know they need help. And I want you to write their name down. And I want you to begin to pray over them. Father, help us. Would you just pray that simple prayer? Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need your help. Help me, God. Lord, help us. Increase our urgency. God, help us to know how to engage and receive insight and release gifts. And when you come down here today to pray, I'm going to also come by and lay hands on you and pray for Acts 1:8 of your life. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Jesus said, before you go into all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, I want you to go to the upper room and wait, and I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon you, and you will receive power. You will receive a supernatural power. You will be endued with power. We call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We must have his power to accomplish his supernatural works. I need his power, and so do you. So on the count of three, I'm going to open these altars, and I want you to come with your pen and come with your list, and I want you to begin to pray for and write down the names of people that God would have you to work on and begin to pray for, engage, serve, and invite. So, Father, shake us by your word. Endue us with your power. Advance your kingdom through us. Let's just wait a second. Let's just wait for a moment. Pour out your gifts to us. Open your hands. Palms open. Come on, pour out your gifts to us. Pour out your gifts. Pour out your gifts. Some of you have been so hungry. You've been so hungry.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.